So we are indeed going to spend the next couple of hours talking about growing disciples. We've been wonderfully instructed through Romans this morning about Paul and his great commission. And now we're going to have time to think about how we apply that in over the next year in terms of how we make disciples. Let's just commit this time to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank and praise you for the mission which you gave to Paul and the gospel that was at the centre of that mission. And we thank you that you've given the same gospel to us and you have called us to join you. You have commissioned us to go and make disciples within IGT. And so we pray that during the next couple of hours, you'd really help us to think about how we can do that. We pray that you'd equip us. We recognize at the beginning of these 2 hours our own weakness, our own need of your wisdom, of your equipping. And so we commit this time to you and pray that you'd be glorified through it. In Jesus' name, amen. Henry really helped us last night to see in 1 Thessalonians those two aspects to Paul's understanding of what it meant in the Thessalonian context to make disciples. We heard about Paul's passion for the people. You can see, if you're not yet on the same page, it's page 6 of the leaflet. We heard about Paul's passion for the people, where Paul spoke of the disciples as his joy, his crown, his glory, his crown of boasting before the Lord Jesus at his coming. And we also heard about Paul's prayer for the people and for their progress. He was praying for them that they would increase and abound in love for one another more and more so that they would be blameless in holiness when the Lord Jesus comes again. And we're just going to try and allow those thoughts to impact our thinking about the task that we have before us, about our role as IGG leaders. And to that end, you'll see in your booklets two different perspectives, both of which, it should be said, are equally valid, but the second of which seeks to implement some of those thoughts from Thessalonians in terms of how Paul viewed the task that he was about. And we're going to see if we can think about what that means for us as IGG leaders. So what I'd like you to do now is to take 10 minutes in your slob groups. If you're not already sat with them, please sit with your slob groups and think about those two perspectives and what implications they might have for your role as a group leader, your attitude to your group members, what you're seeking to achieve, and how you might go about it. You've got 10 minutes until 20 past to do that. Okay, guys, if we feedback for a while, so how does thinking about these two perspectives, how does it help us, and the differences between them, how might it have helped us to understand our role as group leaders? When we discussed this, by the way, we sort of went all over the place. We didn't necessarily stick to these four, so don't worry if you've got any thoughts that aren't exactly according to the group leader, but we will just go through them now. How might this affect the way we understand our role as group leaders? Any thoughts?
We said that the first one very much has the year and like the end of the year in view.
Yeah.
And it's all about sort of, this is my job for the year.
Yeah.
Whereas the scope of the second one is very much Jesus and his return.
Yeah.
My perspective is fixed on his coming, yeah, rather than just on getting through the
year. Yeah. So we're thinking long term and investing in people so they'll keep on going, keep on being Christian until Jesus comes again. Thanks very much. Any other thoughts about implications for us as leaders?
I'm thinking that the first one kind of has outward behaviour as our responsibility and our goal,
yeah,
whereas the second one is very much an inward behaviour and growing as saints.
Excellent. Yeah.
So that's a very different role.
Yeah, excellent. Try to get them to attend all the weekends. I'm sure none of you have ever felt like that, but it's something more than that, isn't it? Yeah, it's wanting to see heart change, see people grow in love. Was that Clorinda just? No, Rob.
It's an easy mistake to make. We didn't say this, but we were all thinking it. The first one is quite finite, so you could get to the end of the day and think, yeah, I've done all of that.
Tick the boxes.
Yeah. Whereas the second one is sort of ongoing and throughout the year.
Great.
Saying a little bit about who you answer to as well. So
brilliant.
That the first one, like, you sort of answer to IgG. Is that Henry?
That's pretty scary in itself.
And the second one, in a sense, on the one hand, you answer to God, as nice as they're committed to you by God. And so the first one's actually quite a godless, perspective.
Mm.
But on the other hand, also to a small significance, and you kind of answer to yourself as well. So it's kind of, rather than you've been given a job by IGG, it's sort of, well, no, you've been given people by God and to your ministry. So both that it's more responsible to God and also a bit more self-starting.
Brilliant.
It's my problem.
Yeah. That's really helpful. How might that change the mindset of I've got to try and get them to attend X, Y, and Z? Any thoughts on that? So really, it then becomes something more than just ticking the boxes, doesn't it? You take responsibility for their ministry. And if, say, for example, you have a group member who has a friend visiting from another part of the world and can't attend an IGG lunch, then you're wanting to encourage that. It's a ministry opportunity, isn't it? You're not saying, oh, you've got to be at IGG lunch, even though we would generally want to encourage people to come to IGG lunches. But you're taking responsibility for ministry. Brilliant. How might this change your attitude to group members? Corinda.
We did discuss this. I didn't just think of it.
Am I wrong?
I think our attitudes have changed to see people not as projects but as people
who
we love as church family.
Yeah.
So how that may look like is, like, when we meet up with them one to one, we'll actually speak the truth and love with them and actually be really concerned for the growth of Christ, as opposed to just ticking the box of just meeting them and once to tell them that's it.
Yeah. Great. People, not projects. Thank you. Any other thoughts? How about these words from Paul at the in the first quote? What is our hope, our joy, our crown before the Lord? Is it not you? How many times have you spoken of your group members as your joy? They keep getting their main point wrong. They're still not doing prep. They're irregular in their attendance. All sorts of frustrations can come, but Paul saw them as his joy. Seeing them grow, it was his joy to see Christ at work in them, wasn't it? And he looked forward to seeing them as his crown because he knew that God would reward him for his faithful pastoring and caring for them. So it's, again, a slightly different perspective. What about, how does this change what I'm seeking to achieve as a group leader?
We said it makes it something bigger. So maybe the first one, it's not easy, but it's more achievable. We talked about the example of someone who always comes to everything, and then you might think, great, my work is done, I don't need to put in any more work with that person. But the second one, actually, that person might be more work for us, because we're thinking, wow, this person, they're coming all the time, I've got so many opportunities to help them make progress in their walk with God and the way that they might do ministry with other people.
Mm.
And so it's like our work is never finished, which would be a positive thing.
Yeah.
We have that attitude of joy.
Great.
I guess there are really good things as well that you just neglect if you have the first attitude.
Mm.
Perhaps this having this wrong attitude, the first one, is the reason why sometimes we observe that we really value, like, people in our groups becoming life leaders or group leaders, because that's like a measurable sign of success. But we undervalue that person in our group who's just quietly been growing in godliness, or has got gifts that are perhaps not as visible and obvious to everyone.
Great. This thing of his desire, Paul's desire, they grow in love for one another and for all. Do we often have that as a kind of benchmark of what we're trying to achieve? we definitely want to say, don't we, that A isn't wrong. We want to teach the Bible clearly and faithfully. That's how they're going to grow in love. Prayer, the prayerful teaching of God's word. But we sometimes, speaking of myself, forget about that. The thing that we're trying to achieve, we want to see them growing Christ-likeness. We want to see them growing in love for one another and for all, that they might be blameless on the last day. What are the implications of this for how we go about achieving our task? Tom?
We talk about definitely praying will feature much more, and not just praying that they will come, but actually I think praying in a way that allows God to do more work, and not just asking God to kind of grow them according to our growth program that we have set out for them, but actually it is kind of like in light of eternity,
yeah,
rather than just this 1 year that we have.
Yeah, great. Any other thoughts? So isn't it, prayer is it's going to be so important. Paul, you see this in Paul's writing, doesn't he? He teaches and then he prays, and there's a sense in which he's totally dependent on God to bring this about. It's only through his work that people are going to grow and change. So our ministry is a teaching ministry, but it's a ministry of prayer as well, a ministry of prayer and the word. Any other thoughts on how we go about achieving this? I guess an obvious... Henry, were you going to say something?
I was just going to say, I wonder if there's sometimes a danger, because of our structures, that we can be quite top-down. And something Paul really models for us is the way he models for them by speaking of just as you've seen in us. It's not just about him to them, but it's very much a kind of him living amongst them. So I wonder if we've got that concern for them on the last day, it's also coming out of that concern for ourselves, and together we're going to stand. And I think that speaks volumes in terms of helping group members get ministry with us. We're in it together.
And that also brings up the issue of modelling, doesn't it? If we're not loving each other and growing in that love, then it's not a good example of what we're trying to encourage in our group members. Any other thoughts before we hand over? Mary is now going to help us to think about some practical ways that we can help people to grow. Thanks, Mary.
So I need that.
You do.
Elaborately attached to you. Girls' clothes have really bad pocket provision. That'll do. Cool. So thanks, John. I think that sets us up really helpfully with what it is we're about, the kind of big principles of what we're trying to do. I'm going to be talking a little bit more about how we achieve those goals for growth in practice, not just thinking about what our goals are, what the principles are. I think we've just seen the crucial question is, how do we think about people? If ministry is all about people, not just getting people to programs, then what does it look like to approach IGG in this way? And the thing is, people are all different. So if you've come to this session hoping for a checklist, this is what you do term one, term two, term three, then you might be disappointed, because we're all going to end up doing different things this year as we serve the different group members that God brings to us. But we did think it would be helpful to give you something, some kind of a process. Hopefully not quite what Tom said, what was it you said, Tom? Our program for their whatever it was you said. Hopefully not just a kind of mechanical program, but something that will actually help us think about IGG through the lens of people and not just events. So in the past, we've often introduced something a bit like this table, which is on your handout, which is to help us take one individual at a time and prayerfully consider where they're at in their Christian discipleship, given that what our big hope is for their growth and what steps we can take to help them grow in that direction. I personally find this a helpful framework to discipline me to actually focus on people and not just on events. And lots of you have told me that you find it helpful too, so that's why it's come back. And John also said something helpful as we were chatting through this session, that this way of thinking is actually what Paul models in 1 Thessalonians and in lots of his letters as well. So I felt like, okay, it's all right. We can use a table, even though it looks a bit mechanical. So I'm going to explain something of this table with reference to 1 Thessalonians 3, and as I go, make some suggestions for how we might think about the people God gives us to serve this year. And then we're going to have some discussion time putting it into practice. So first of all, this whole issue of where someone's at. If we think about 1 Thess, before Paul writes his letter, he makes sure to find out where this church is at. He's gone to great pains to discover how they're doing. He wants to visit them himself. And then when that fails, he sends his right-hand man, Timothy, to go and find out how they're doing and report back to him. So then Paul's words that he writes to them reflect their situation, reflects what they're bearing fruit in, what they're struggling with, what they're already clear on, and what they've not yet grasped. He knows them, and he's thought about what they need to hear. His letters aren't a one-size-fits-all, as we saw this morning, those of us who were in Romans. So as we work with people in IGG, it takes time to work out where they are as Christians. Unless you were someone's leader last year, you're not going to have that answer straight away. But gradually, as the term goes on, we get to know people. We do things like chatting to them on Sundays, perhaps over lunch, or maybe even breakfast, if people are keen, on Wednesdays, over dinner. Henry, am I right that we're going to do dinner a bit differently this year? Is that true? Dinner will be different. Dinner will be more of a thing. We'll be encouraging people to come and chat more over dinner. So that's an excellent opportunity to get to know people. When chatting to people, asking really thoughtful questions, listening to the answers, maybe jotting down some notes afterwards if you're getting old like me and you can't remember who said what to you. You don't want to be embarrassed next time that you thought someone was someone else. Maybe listening out for how people pray after studies or whether they're praying at all. Or making the most of being the co-leader and not having to be really anxious about how you're running your study, to spend time really listening to how people are engaging with the Bible and what kind of things they say. Or if someone is new to you but not new to IGG, why not find their leader from last year and get some pointers? Maybe have a group social early on in the term so that you can spend good time together. Perhaps think about how to make it not right next to IGG Day. Maybe IGG Day evening or something like that. And as well as getting to know people through events, we'd also suggest trying to have a longer catch-up with people, maybe once a term, what you might call a coffee, but it could equally be a meal or a game of squash or whatever you want to do. We'd suggest every, like between the two of you as co-leaders or the three of you, you parcel out the group members. If you're a boy and a girl leading together, it's quite easy. The girl gets the girls, the boy gets the boys. If you're a group of boys, then the co-leaders can split people between you. You know, you're clever. You can work it out. So that we're not trying to be overly intense with maybe three co-leaders all trying to meet with the same person. So in the first term, a good use of catching up with someone might just be to ask them some questions, to get to know them, to understand them better and where they're at as a Christian. And if you like suggestions, I've put some possible questions you could ask on the sheet. The first list of questions is some questions that you could ask in meeting up with them one-to-one or just while you're having dinner after church. The second list is things you might not ask them directly, but things to bear in mind as you're chatting to people, areas to try and cover and listen out for. And in that list, I've put down trying to listen out for not just how people are doing, but why they're doing in that way. Not just how they're going on the surface, but the underlying reasons behind those things. And then this then helps us to pinpoint what it is we most want to help them make progress in, what our big hope is, or a big prayer. So the second heading off the table, I know it's a little bit indecisive. Is it a big hope? Is it a big prayer? Which one? But I kind of think that's okay, because in Paul's ministry, he very much holds the two things together. When he really wants something for a church that he's writing to, he often expresses that as a prayer in the letter, which I take it to mean he's actually praying that thing. He's not just pretending that he does. And we saw that again this morning in Romans. Paul includes a prayer, which is a good pointer to the author's purpose. So Bible study tip as well. And in 1 Thess, Paul has two prayers. He's got one at the end of chapter 3, one at the end of chapter 5. We've just been looking at the chapter 3 one. And we see in those prayers that Paul models being really ambitious for God's work in people. As you read through, you might think Paul is going to be satisfied by 2 verse 8. Now we live for you as standing firm in the Lord. And of course, he's thrilled that they're keeping going as Christians. But then he goes on to say that he wants more and more from them. He thanks God that they're already loving each other, but he prays they would increase and abound in love. And so when we've reflected on where our group members are at, it's useful to think about one way that we hope God will grow them more and more, taking them one by one and considering them as individuals, but also thinking about them as a group, as a whole. After all, Paul's prayers are for whole churches and rarely for individuals within the church. And I usually find after I've thought very hard about someone and where they're at, often one thing presents itself as quite obvious. For example, you might notice someone is not very engaged in evangelism with their course mates, or they don't have any deep relationships at church. And at this point, I suggest asking some questions to refine your thinking, not just focusing on the what of what they're doing, but the why of how they're acting. So, for example, why are they not engaged in evangelism? Do they not see the importance of people coming to know Jesus? Or they don't feel practically equipped to share their faith? Or they maybe don't have any non-Christian friends that they could share with? And so thinking about these things will sharpen what your big hope is for their growth. Maybe it's that they'll be gripped by the urgency of the gospel, or that they'll be clear on what the gospel is, or have a practical grounding in how to speak for Jesus. So can you see that's a bit more specific than just that they'll be a better evangelist or something general like that? And I should add a bit of a caveat here. I think there's rarely one right answer to the big hope question. And as limited human beings, we're not claiming to know what the big work God will do in a person is this year. But I think identifying one important thing helps us be much more focused in someone's discipleship rather than just bombarding them with anything that might possibly be helpful. And I think it also helps us be patient with people and encourage them to grow at the rate that God's growing them one step at a time rather than getting frustrated that by the end of 1 year of IGG, they're not yet ready to be next rector of St. Helens. It also helps us pray and work on one or two things in more depth, because we can't cover everything in depth. So it's worth putting in some thought so that we do in-depth work with people wisely. So then, of course, when we've thought about how we hope someone will grow, and when we've started praying that God will grow them in this way, we'll want to take some action, concrete steps. So while Paul is most certainly a man of prayer, he doesn't leave his ministry there. He also goes on to act on his big hopes, to take concrete steps to see them achieved. In 1 Thessalonians, we see this in the way that Paul tells them specific stuff. Chapters 4 and 5, he tells them lots of things that are tailored to them. We see he in that prayer, he also wants to visit them so that he can give them more instruction. And he also tells them to encourage each other, just as John was saying, often maybe a concrete step is actually not something we do. It's something we get someone else to do. And so for us, this is where the fun begins. This is where we get to be creative in what we do with people. Laura's going to get us thinking a lot more about that, but a kind of a few broad brushstroke suggestions before we get discussing. I guess we know that God works in people through his words. And so often we're going to be thinking about how to raise an issue with someone from the Bible. And that usually a good way for that to happen is if we can tie it into some of the formal teaching that we're getting, maybe a Sunday sermon or an IGG study or an IGG lunch, etc., etc. Or it might be thinking about how to help them get in contact with someone who'll be a good example to them, perhaps in workplace ministry. Obviously, maybe being that good example ourselves. It might be recommending a book and then meeting up with them to discuss how they found it, or offering to go with them to share the gospel with a non-Christian friend or family member who's visiting London. Or maybe it would be inviting one group member to meet every week for a one-to-one Bible study, Or maybe finding someone else to do that with them if you think it would be good for them, but you don't have the time. And I guess looking around this room, there's a huge wealth of experience, people who've worked with people in so many different contexts over the years. And so talk to each other within your slob groups, outside your slob groups, steal each other's ideas. And again, Laura's going to start off the idea stealing shortly. So now we're going to spend some time trying out this framework. I thought rather than talking about imaginary group members with alliterative names, we'd be better off using real people and people that we hopefully know the best at IGG, which is ourselves. Because after all, as leaders, we are also basically just disciples who are seeking to grow in our walk with Jesus. So we're going to spend maybe 5 minutes now by yourself trying to fill in this table for yourself. So ask yourself some questions to try and work out where you're currently at as a disciple of Jesus. Think about a big hope for yourself, for your personal growth this term. And think about if you were your slob leader or if you were your good Christian friends, what concrete steps might those people take to help you grow in that way? And then we'll do some discussion, maybe share it with the person next to you. If you write something really personal you don't want to share, that's okay. Like, you know, you're all clever. You'll work out a way around that. And then we'll have some time for questions, hopefully. Let's start. Take 5 minutes. And then I'll call us together after 5 minutes. Is everyone clear what we're doing? Maybe start turning to the person next to you. If you've not finished thinking about yourself, that's maybe okay, because often two heads are better than one, so the person next to you might be able to help you. If you run out of stuff to say, start praying, and then I'll call us back together. Cool, let's draw together there. I think three quick things to say. Firstly, you know, we did say this is a big hope, a big prayer. Do find some time to pray this for yourself and maybe the person you're chatting to at some point. Secondly, hopefully your slob leader will be chatting through with you this kind of thing for the people in your group. If they don't, then tell them to at some point. This is something we can be helping each other do with people. And thirdly, I guess for Life Course, it looks slightly different with non-Christians, but I guess actually maybe you talked about it, a very similar thing still applies. Like, we're still helping non-Christians work through big barriers with their seeking of Jesus. But I guess the difference is maybe, I think Henry would agree with this, it's not just the Life Course leaders who are responsible for their group members. If you bring a friend to the Life Course, that's also your responsibility. I was going to do a couple of minutes of questions. I don't think we really have time, but if you have a question, jot it down, and we might have a like general question and answer session at the end of the session. Over to Laura.
Get sorted. Oh. Glasses will help. Things. Bear with. Where's my pocket? Technical difficulties. Great. So, as much as we've just talked about, especially with John, as leaders in IGG, we're primarily thinking about our group members. We're thinking about them as people. We're not thinking about them as projects. We're not just concerned about trying to get them to all their IGG events and kind of things in the calendar, but we do still run things in the IGG calendar, and they're important and they're good to get along to, and they can be really useful in your personal ministry with your group members. So as much as the aim is not to make sure they're at every single thing, now we're just going to spend a bit of time thinking about how we can use these structures to our advantage. we're going to be focusing mainly on IGG lunch, IGG day, and the weekends away, and then non-formal, miscellaneous non-formal structures. There's loads of stuff that is encompassed in the IGG year, so this is not going to be exhaustive, but hopefully it will be helpful in thinking about how we can be purposeful about using these things to help us to grow more in our love of God and love of others, and to help us help our group members grow in their love of God and love of others. Yeah. So the first thing we'll think about is IgG lunch. So most of you hopefully know what IgG lunch is. But just to kind of give a big view of what it is, it's seminars over lunch a couple of times every term, where we think through different aspects of the Christian life. So a big focus of these lunches is preparing us to go back home, preparing our group members to go back home. It's a really great opportunity to do some good in-depth chats with your group members about, in a different setting than your usual study, about things we don't necessarily touch on in studies. And we can be encouraged in our faith in these practical ways, thinking through especially how they might play out back home. So all the dates and the topics are in your prep book. If you haven't got one yet, George will be selling them to you out in the foyer here. And the Mandarin prep book for Romans has a couple of the IgG lunches. The dates are missing, I think. So just... So they're all... That was what I was going to say is that for those of you who have the Mandarin prep books, check these books that we have here that George has prepared for us for this weekend, and that has all of the dates in there, so you might just need to grab a pen and write the other ones into your prep books just so you don't forget. But hopefully your slob leaders will be reminding you of when they are, so you won't be missing out on any of that. The first IgG lunch is actually pretty soon. It's on the 30th of September. That first one we'll be thinking about how and why we prep for Bible studies. And so it's going to give us... Pardon? Is it church? Oh, sorry, my bad. Anyway, we're going to be covering things like church, evangelism, going home, and a bunch of other things. So there's a lot of great stuff planned in the calendar for this year, and it's going to be really great to encourage our group members to go. I thought I'd share a bit about my experience being new at IGG last year and with IGG lunches. I found that they were a great time to talk with my group. So I was leading a student group last year. We talked about things like church and prayer and work. And because they were topics that we only really touched on at IGG lunches, it was a really good opportunity to see where my girls were at in terms of thinking about how their Christian life was worked out in all these different areas of life. And it gave us an opportunity to keep on chatting after that if they were still free on an afternoon, if they didn't have study to do or things like that on the Sunday afternoon after the lunch. So that was a really great opportunity for me, and I think I, throughout the year, learned how to use it better. I did find it challenging to be effective in encouraging my group members to come, often because they had studies or they were busy or things like that. But when they did come, I found it was a really great time to get to know them better outside of Wednesday night, particularly those who weren't necessarily that regular in attending. So that was part of my experience with IGG lunch. And I think every year we do, I'm sure you'll find the same every year you do IGG again, you figure out ways, better ways to invite your group members and encourage them because you have a good idea of kind of what they'll be like. So, I guess just wanting to encourage you to think about IGG lunches and look through that list, and particularly, I guess, thinking about ways to be purposeful in being proactive about encouraging them to think about the topics that we're going to be talking about. So the next structure in IGG, yes?
Can I say something?
Yes.
Just to say, I have heard your complaints about too many IGG lunches. I said there are fewer in the diary for this year, and they're a bit more spaced out if you look at those dates. Okay? So. So, okay, right?
Yeah.
Now, come, I'll stop with you.
Do you want to have lunch as well?
What's that?
Do you want to have lunch?
I think. Probably, yeah.
We we can probably talk about how food and things is going to work at a different time, I reckon. But we have been trying to think a bit more about how we can do lunch and use the time more effectively, so that we're not all running around the city trying to get tasty food to eat and then end up being late, and then we don't have as much time to talk and things like that. So stay tuned for more about that. Great. So moving on then, it's not all just going to be me chatting. I am now going to chat to you a bit about IGG Day and Weekends Away, and I'm going to get Ping up in a minute to share her experience of how she's found using IGG Day and the Weekends Away to with her personal ministry, with her groups. So IGG Day, you can see in your booklets, is the 20th of October. Yes, I think that's right. Yeah. And then we've got a Weekend Away in December and a Weekend Away in February. And these are kind of big chunks of time in the IGG calendar where we can spend time together as a church family, where we can get away to somewhere like this, obviously, or when we can set out the time on IGG Day just in the city to take a step back from everyday life and spend a whole day or the weekend with your brothers and sisters looking at God's word. And it's a really excellent time and place to make time or make, you know, organize time with group members to chat more deeply, especially for those of you who are worker group leaders and people's time might be short during the week. These times are a really great opportunity to book in with busy people so you can catch up with them and see how they're going. Great. So, yeah, the dates for the Weekend Away I've got is the 30th of November to the 2nd of December, and then the 22nd of February to the 24th of February. So, Ping, if you're ready, I'd like you to come up here. And I'm just going to ask Ping a couple of questions. Maybe I'll hold this here so you'll get caught on the recording as well. Hope that's all right. So how did you find IGG Day or the Weekends Away helped you to know where members of your group were at and how you could pray for them and what practical steps you could take to help them grow in their faith?
Okay, so I think I find it helpful in a way that normally IGG Day or Weekends Away, they're more topical. So I focus on one areas of life. For example, I think we had workplace dream, or how God speak, or relationship. So these, it's kind of it flows naturally to talk to your group members specifically about one area of their lives. And the other thing is, it's just great to have lots of time spending together, and not just the time that you discuss in the groups, but also time you spent doing traveling or eating or through games and all sorts of way to get to know them, because they're not projects.
Yeah.
You know, and, where they're from and what they like, things like that. And how your next question is how to
question was were there ways that you found using IGG Day or the Weekends Away challenging? Go for it.
just on your last question, you did ask like how could I be praying for them?
How you could pray for them and what practical steps.
So how to pray for them? Mary mentioned about the matrix, which was really helpful. I use that to discuss it with my co-leader, who's a females as well. So we discuss about that, but it's also helpful to pray specifically in the area that they're finding challenging or that you want them to grow more and more. Write down their specific prayer requests and maybe even to discuss with them in person and saying, what do you find it challenging and how do you want to grow? Things like that you can help them, or help you to help them to grow. And things that I find it challenging, most of the time that I find Weekends Away challenging, it's just that you spend so much time talking to different people, you may get quite tired. that's probably the biggest challenge. Yeah, probably you have too many people to care, you don't have time to. And also the biggest challenge is that you may forget about it the week after, which is quite sad. So, yeah.
Yeah, excellent. Thanks so much. I really appreciate that. So hopefully that's giving you a bit of a taste of Ping's experience. And I thought there were some really great things we could apply to ourselves in there, like writing things down. Writing down prayer requests is always a great idea, because how often do you say, oh, I'll pray for you, and then forget what you were supposed to pray for or something like that. So that's really great. Thanks. So the last thing we're going to touch on with IGG structures is kind of non-formal structures, which I guess is the most abstract of the three. So these are kind of structures that we encourage and can give help with, but they're not necessarily things that the whole of IGG does together. Some of them will be, but some of them won't be. So it includes things like dialogue suppers, if your group runs a dialogue supper, or group socials, or having lunch or dinner together after church, depending which service you go to. Catching up during the week, reading a book together, catching up over the summer, doing Bible Unwrapped or reading a book, prayer triplets, hanging out with others, non-Christian friends. There's all sorts of ways that we can be just kind of doing life together with our groups, which are opportunities that we can use to be showing our concern for our group members and figuring out where they're at and using that time to be able to check up on them and see how we can be praying for them and how we can be helping them as well. So particularly the dialogue suppers can be a great time for you to be training your group members. So that's a concrete step that you can be helping your group with. If you know that they struggle with evangelism, then doing dialogue suppers or using a group social to do some training or something like that is a really great opportunity to be able to put that concern and those the areas that you're trying to help them with into action. When and where they happen, hopefully, we hope that dialogue suppers and things like, and group socials and things will happen a few times a term. We hope that you'll be thinking all the time about ways that you can kind of do these kind of non-formal things with your groups whenever and wherever you organise them. We hope that that's going to be something that you'll be able to put time and effort into as group leaders, because we're not just about the formal structures that IGG runs, but we want to be concerned about people and do life together, not just Bible study. So Ryan, there you are. Ryan's going to come up and I'm going to ask him very similar questions to Ping, and he's going to share with us a bit of his experience. So how have you found using non-formal structures in IGG to help figure out where your members are at, what you can pray for them, and what kind of things you can do to help them?
Yeah, so I think one of the main benefits of kind of informal structures is it helps us to know how much of the word that is taught in kind of the formal structures, so sermons, IGG studies, IGG lunch and weekend away, how much of those, the word that is taught those, then is actually understood and lived out in daily life of the individuals in our group. And it also helps them to do so more. So kind of one approach that I use to make use of informal structures is I kind of start by thinking of the main areas of life as an IGE worker or student, like what Mary showed us in the previous page. So kind of workplace, church, personal devotion, prayer, money, singleness and marriage, evangelism. So kind of these main areas of life as an IGE worker or student, the recent teaching in these areas, as well as kind of good questions to ask in these areas. So I'll start off by preparing that. And then kind of before diving into some of this, I've actually learned to start by listening to individuals. Because quite often individuals have, there's a few areas that they are most interested in or most concerned by or have questions on. So for example, how to explain the Bible to kind of a Bible overview to friends or colleagues, how kind of the reliability of the gospel, what's the importance of local church and kind of singleness and marriage. Kind of these questions they might be most concerned of and they want to discuss first. Or just to be able to be open in kind of sharing struggles in battling with sin. So I like to start off by listening to individuals first. And then the next step would be to consider what have we been taught, what have we seen in God's word in these areas so that we can understand and be able to live it out better. And then kind of after that, most people would be also quite keen for us to be able to suggest new areas for them to be able to grow in or focus on. So that's where we can kind of go through the other areas, what we've been taught and learned recently, or maybe just to read through something again, like John or Ephesians or the upcoming series in Philippians, and yeah, be able to understand and live it out. And kind of not just to suggest new things, but also we've mentioned to model it with them, kind of share what we are thinking about in personal devotion, kind of prayer priorities, how we actually try and understand and apply author's purpose, and also kind of model it by maybe organizing dialogue suppers so that yeah everyone can be equipped to understand the gospel and explain it to colleagues. So kind of just to summarize, the main benefit is it enables the word to be further understood and lived out by individuals in daily life.
Yeah. Great. In what ways did you find using these kind of non-formal structures challenging in using for your personal work?
Yeah, so there's a few pitfalls of informal structures. So I'm ignoring the informal structures that are kind of just for rest. So this is excluding the rest times. The one pitfall is if there's kind of not much word being discussed or involved in during those times. So it kind of becomes like a secular friendship and hanging out. And then even worse, if the informal structures become what people look forward to so much that it kind of dominates more than the formal word teaching. So that's one pitfall to try and avoid. Another one is, okay, people might be engaged with wanting to discuss the word in informal structures, but maybe they are less clear on the purpose of kind of IGG, which is to grow in discipleship to Jesus. And so they'll kind of come with, they'll treat it as a head knowledge forum to discuss like kind of very specific details or kind of some points on evolution or science or maybe kind of come up with a list of bullet points to take home, but not actually concluding and trying to think of how to apply it. So that's another pitfall to avoid. And then I guess another one is if we ourselves are not kind of prepped on what we've been taught recently or we've not actually thought of people as individuals with different characters and different lives, then we won't be able to kind of suggest the best area for them to grow in or think of. So I guess these are kind of some pitfalls to avoid, and I guess the solution to avoid this is actually just to have a clear aim for these informal structures, which is for the word to be understood and lived out by people in daily lives. So to do some prep on kind of the recent teaching in the main areas of life as an IGG worker or student, and also to think of people as individuals in kind of their specific lives. And yeah, we've also mentioned we need to pray all this in because only God can change and grow his people.
Yeah, excellent. Thanks so much. So there's a lot to kind of digest there as well. I think Ryan's group did some great dialogue suppers and have been, it's been really great to hear. So now Henry is going to come and talk to us a bit about the life course and evangelism, so that side of IGG practically.
Well done, guys. You're doing very well. We're almost there. We're going to spend some time praying in our swap groups in about, is it 15 minutes time? Something like that. 15 minutes time. So I just want to underline, this feels like a massive task, but don't forget what John and Mary reminded us at the beginning. We do this in total dependence on the Lord. It's his people. It's his church. He's committed to it. His people will be standing on the last day. He's just chosen to work through sinful, weak failures like us. It's a wonderful privilege. He gets all the glory. We express that dependence by praying, which is why on Wednesday nights we love to gather before people come at 7. Mary mentioned the new way of doing dinner. It's not very clever. We're just going to actually have a formal welcome at 7 to encourage people to see we start at 7. We might occasionally use that time for particular things, but it's basically get to know each other. We don't want to fill it with more structure. We want to have time to actually talk and get to know each other before our usual beginning at 7:30. I also want to underline, it's not just us doing all of this. It's really helpful having all these ways to help how to help our group develop. But we want to be helping one another. So it's very much love one another. We want to be helping our groups step up in ministry in these areas so that they can be with us serving other members in the group, because some will be a bit further on than others and that sort of thing. Let's keep going through these really helpful questions in the booklet, particularly some of the stuff on church. I think last year we had a number, perhaps especially in the workers groups, who weren't really part of St. Helens on a Sunday, and we don't want lots of that over this year. You may well want to talk about that as a slob group at some point. How do you go about helping our groups get clear on we are not just a sort of evening class where people come and have a bit of Bible study. We are trying to help people become disciples who understand that God has his people in local churches. We haven't got time to look at that in detail now, but please do have a think about it at some point. As Laura says, let's spend a few moments thinking about making Christ known. We've talked about standing firm. Actually, one of the key ways we are encouraged to stand firm is to get behind Jesus's agenda in this world. He hasn't yet returned, because there are still more people out there who are lost, who haven't yet heard the gospel and therefore haven't turned from idols to serve the one true God and so wait for his return. And so actually, as we see brothers and sisters and ourselves engaging in this agenda, it encourages people to live for that future new creation and strengthens us to say no to sin and the agenda of this world and so on. It doesn't often happen, but occasionally when I'm giving a talk, I skip over a whole chunk and miss out some real gold dust. And that happened last night. It wasn't gold dust, to be honest. It was just an illustration. But I want to use it now. I think it will help us. If I'm honest with you, I'll let you into a little secret. I often feel nervous of going to performances with my children at school. Even from a very young age, they'll stand up there and it won't be particularly impressive, but I just find it's hard not to cry. It's a bizarre thing. I just have this kind of, have you found that, Gwilym? You just have this kind of sense of pride, not in a kind of unhelpful way, but like, this is wonderful to see these guys. And what an amazing feeling it's going to be on that last day as we see those who, by God's grace, he's kept going to the last day and he's used our meager efforts in that. They are standing firm on the last day. That's a wonderful thing. I hope we're going to keep filling our vision with that. But think how amazing it will be if those who are currently unbelievers, who will know members of our IGG groups, who will also be standing firm on that last day. And they'll be looking back to 2018-19 as the time when they first heard, or perhaps not the first time they heard, but the first time they came to trust and repent and believe and join God's family and started to love one another as his people while we wait for Jesus to return. What a wonderful year it will be. Last year, if you weren't with us last year, was an amazing year. Maybe you were with us and you didn't realize. 10 people, as far as we're aware, it may be more, 10 people repented and turned from idol. What a wonderful year. We started this time last year saying, wouldn't it be great if a few people, 10 people, what a wonderful start. Hopefully many more over the coming years as those seeds that were planted. It was a very encouraging year of making Christ known. Just for a few minutes, let me mention three ways that the Life team are seeking to assist IGG as a whole in making Christ known. It's not that the Life team does it all for IGG. We're just trying to assist IGG as we get across, as we get alongside the people that the Lord has put in our lives. So I just want to mention briefly, haven't got long, courses, life reps, and then something new called MCK, Making Christ Known slots. Courses. We run two courses each term. Week 5 of each term, we start the life course. I can't remember if it's in the diary, but just so you know, week 5 is always when we start the life course. It's a 6-week course, and then for the first 4 weeks in the term, we run the Foundations course, which is a mini Bible overview. It's basically Genesis 1 to 12 with a little sneaky look forward into the Old Testament. So we're building some foundations, helping people understand who is God, what do Christians believe about who humans are, what's the problem, what's this amazing promise that God makes from the beginning, and we track it through so that when they come to the life course, they're expecting to see solutions to the problem, fulfillments to the promise. Many people come to life course not having been at that. That's fine. It's often a good follow-up after the life course. I asked the team this morning, what do you think of the training we had would be useful to pass on to you guys just for a few minutes now? And they said the rationale for why we have the courses. So let me just give you three things as to why we run a course every Wednesday or every term at IGG. Firstly, we are seeking to model a commitment to evangelism. We love studying God's word at IGG, and I hope we will continue to love it. We love to hear God speak to us. Romans and Overview are both going to be great for getting us looking outwards and wanting to make Christ known. But actually having non-Christians with us, having a sort of course, formalized thing on a Wednesday, just keeps it on the agenda week by week. We're remembering we've got unbelievers with us, and that's what we're about in this world, knowing Christ, but also making him known. So we really care about making Christ known. We can model that. We can also model expository evangelism. And this was something we spent a bit of time thinking about this morning. We haven't got time now, but most evangelism courses are, these are the things we think you need to know. Whereas what we do is we open God's word and let him set the agenda. We just look at John chapters 1 to 4 over 6 weeks. We don't tell them everything. It's not comprehensive. But hopefully over the years, and I hope you'll help IGG guys understand what we're doing. We're producing a video. In fact, this Wednesday, you could pray that it goes well with the shooting of the video to try and help people understand what the life course is. We're doing something very straightforward. We're just opening up John's gospel. But as we were reminded this morning, God calls his people, the good shepherd speaks, and those he's chosen hear and believe. And that's a wonderful thing. So we don't need to be very clever. We're just working through John's gospel 1 to 4. It reminds us the power is in the word. John has a name, and we let him achieve it by looking at it in the way he's ordered it. So we want to model commitment to evangelism. We want to sustain ongoing momentum through the year. And so by having a course, it gives us natural moments in the course of the year to have another go at inviting people. Maybe they didn't come last time. Maybe they're going to be more interested this time because we've had ongoing conversations. A chance to have ongoing momentum in that. Particularly good for follow-up from set-piece events. You know, we're going to have a Christmas dinner, both in English and Mandarin this year. We have Chinese New Year events, carols. So to be able to say we've got a course starting, it's quite useful as a sort of next step, one of the options for follow-up. And then thirdly, as well as modelling and sustaining momentum, we can cultivate, we hope, a helpful mindset about evangelism, that courses are not the key. The life course is not comprehensive. It's just part of our ongoing evangelism. It may be useful to members of our groups, may be useful to ourselves in that ongoing conversation we're seeking to have with friends. It doesn't cover all the material, and therefore we're very clear. It's not the kind of silver bullet. If you come on the life course, you've got it nailed. You're going to become a Christian. It's a kickstart in people's evangelism potentially, or a sort of ongoing part of it. It helps cultivate this mindset of personal responsibility. So we're, as a life team, serving members of the IGG community, but this is an ongoing relationship that you're going to have with your friend, and we want to talk to you about how that follow-up is going to happen as you continue talking during the course. We're actually thinking of producing a sheet that whenever someone comes to the life course with their friend, we give them the sheet, and they can read through what their responsibilities are and what our responsibilities are and that sort of thing. Partnership. There will be people in our groups who won't have friends who are wanting to come on the life course. It's not appropriate. Maybe they're reading one-to-one. That'd be brilliant. Or maybe their friends are just quite hardened at the moment. But they can feel part of it by praying for the life course as it happens, term by term. They can be inviting. They can be part of the loving community. By having it on the same night, non-Christians get to see church family. And one of the things we need to think through is if we're starting at 7, sitting around our tables having a meal, what about the unbelievers? Can we welcome them in amongst? It'd be great if we could. We're going to have to think through how we can do that most effectively. So that's the courses. Do come and grab me or one of the life team if you want to hear more about those things. Life reps, this is something we started last year, and we haven't totally kind of decided, is this the best thing? But I think we want to have another year at testing it out. In many instances, it seemed to be quite useful. In the instances where it perhaps wasn't particularly helpful, maybe we can be clearer on the kind of people who make good life reps and the kind of ways you guys could make the most of them. Let me just give you a few highlights. The rationale is not that they are the only people who think about evangelism. Okay, so as we've been hearing with these very helpful slots from John and Mary and Laura, we want to be helping people step up in their godliness, in their evangelism, and that is your responsibility as leader to be encouraging that. But it may well be that by having a life rep, you can make sure it's kept on the agenda, because you've got a whole load of things. You're probably feeling a little bit overwhelmed seeing this long list of things. And just like a CU exec often has an evang secretary, it's not that the rest of the committee doesn't care about evang. That's the whole reason the CU exists. But the evang secretary keeps it on the agenda. And that could be a real blessing to you as a small group leader. How you use them is totally up to you. You set the agenda. You tell them what you want them to do. And it may depend on who you've chosen. What kind of a person would be appropriate? Well, it may be someone who could be in this room next year leading, and it's a good chance to step them up in a bit of responsibility within the group. It could be someone, well, if there's someone on the life team in your group, they are basically your life rep. You don't need another life rep. It could be just someone who loves to make Christ known. They've already, you know, shown that they're committed to evangelism, and they would be a great way. They'd be a great person to get involved, because we want them to be modeling evangelism, encouraging the group to pray for evangelism, and so on. Just before I shut up, MCK, what's that all about? Making Christ known. So we often have slots on a Wednesday, and we will continue to have a number of slots each term. But for 3 weeks, three times each term, at least this is the current plan, we will not have a sort of upfront slot, and we will give you guys time in your groups to talk. And the idea is to talk about making Christ known. Now, this is not to give you another burden to prepare. We will prepare a sheet where you'll literally just walk through it as a group. You could get the life rep to do that. You could do it yourself. It will tell you what to do. There'll be the odd kind of just discuss, brainstorm for 90 seconds in pairs. It could be look up this verse. It's basically beginning a conversation that we hope will serve and assist you guys in having ongoing conversations about evangelism. Now, we've got three excellent lunches that we're looking forward to, and that will hopefully achieve a lot of that. But of course, the third lunch is, I think, towards the end of January, and we've still got half a year left. So we want to keep this on the agenda. And by having little 10 to 15 minute slots at the beginning of IGG may well help us. So things like talking about testimony, what would make a good testimony, things like word one-to-one, or how to understand events in connection with our ongoing evangelism, all these sort of things. We maybe will send you a list of the sort of things we're planning to do. They may well be things we talk about in the lunches, but it will be just yet another chance, because the reality, sadly, is some of our guys won't make it to the lunch, and this just means everyone gets to hear about it. And then in terms of follow-up in conversations, it will give us yet more opportunities to speak about making Christ known. Last year, we made real progress. I have to say, I was very proud of IGG last year. As I heard about different evenings, maybe in a bad way, I was thinking, get in there. We were really going for it. So many guest events, so many dialogue events, organic evangelism. Some of the worker groups, I think some of the student groups as well, were doing more and more over the summer. It was brilliant. Fruit picking farms and any number of creative ways. Wouldn't it be great if next year we have yet more? Yes, we maybe have one particular week where we give it a big push, but actually throughout the whole year, we want to be making Christ known. And that's, people are going to grow in love for Christ as they engage in that. People are going to be caring more and more about standing on the last day, because they'll be caring about their friends who are going to face the wrath to come. And so let's be praying as we pray for our group members to care about making Christ known. Just as we've been saying in Thessalonians, they already were loving each other. Paul wanted them to do it more and more. IGG are already making Christ known. It's a wonderful thing. Let's pray that this year we'll be doing it more and more. Am I handing over to John? Or we're doing the discussion. So we've got a few minutes now, and then John will tell us when to pray. There's some discussion questions on the sheet, and there may be a chance for questions at the end. But have a quick turn to your groups and begin discussing these things.
7 minutes.
Terrific. 7 minutes. I must have spoken quite fast.
I was running quick, I think.